In the scriptures, there are all kinds of verses that we can look. We know the Luke story, which we read last night. We have in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, meaning Jesus, the Word was there, and all of it was together. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God were together in the beginning. And we think about the family stories. We all have stories that we could share about Christmases. And so I want to kind of do this. I kind of wrote this down a little bit. I borrowed from some other people, and I borrowed here and there, and I put a little thought myself in it to it. And I'll try to put this together. And as you get old, one of the things you don't do as well as you used to do is remember everything. So I may not remember the story exactly, and some of the ones that I tell in my own family might backfire on me when I get home, but we'll deal with that when we get home. But one of the things that we did at Christmas time was, during the season, as we celebrated Advent here at the church, we also celebrated it at our house. And we would sit there and we would light every Sunday night a candle, the four of us, Ben and Casey, Angie and I, and we would read scriptures, we would do the little Advent devotional, and then we would light the candle and we would sing. And each Sunday night we would do that, and then on Sunday mornings we would light the candle and we would also sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And that had been a tradition that we have done as they were little. Now, once they went off to college, they couldn't come back every Sunday night, so we couldn't do it as much. And now that they are completely away from everything, we can't do that. But the one thing that we did able to do is, the first thing this morning, before anything else, was to have prayer and to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Now, some people may think that's silly, and I kind of thought it was too. You know, it's kind of silly enough to sing it to mom and dad, brothers and sisters, and so forth, but to sing it to Jesus. But why else are we celebrating Christmas? What is Christmas all about? One of the things that I did this year was, every time I wrote the word Christmas or typed the word Christmas, I would always put Christ in capital letters and the M-A-S in little letters to remind me that that was why we were celebrating it. But as we come this special day, we come for all sorts of memories of Christmases past, the good ones, the bad ones, and all of those things that come together. We see the food, the presents, the families, the friends, and everybody that's together. We have that sense of joy and fulfillment after weeks of preparations of the Advent that we've done here at the church. But we hear the beloved story of Mary and Joseph, the baby in a manger, the shepherds and the wise men, the angels. They were all gathered by a group of people who have known Jesus as the man, very first time. And they were also there and knew him as their risen Lord. Naturally, these early Christians, the community, had been fascinated to know all about their amazing people to come. They had heard, the Jews knew that the Messiah was coming, and they waited anxiously each and every day. They counted on it each and every day when that Messiah would come. In Luke's gospel, we may have some of his own stories that we see. We see that he was born. We know about the manger and all of that. We also know that it also says later on that he grew up, and as a child he went into the temple and he sat down with the high priest. And he talked with them, and they were amazed at such an early age how much Jesus knew. In fact, they even said he grew in stature and wisdom. And wasn't it just typical of family stories that we read about, that we hear about? And as we know that as our grandparents get older, they always want to tell the story, such as having the last word in. My dad does that, and Angie's dad got mad one year and says, I'm going to keep on butting in until everybody listens to what I say. And he wanted that last word. Or you may hear somebody say, when you were a baby, you used to love the water, and that's why you were a good swimmer, and so forth, and so forth. Family stories we keep alive, the ones that we tie together with families and everything. We remember how Jesus was a problem to the establishment, to the authorities. We see that in his life always was on the line. No wonder King Herod, from the very beginning, wanted to get rid of him, because he knew that his job was in jeopardy. He was no longer king on this earth, because there was a new king that had come on. And no wonder he wanted to get rid of him. And again, we see that Jesus is good news to every nation. We see that not only to his people, but to each and every one of us. It is the good news. And we experience for ourselves that Jesus connects us to God. He brings heaven right among us. No surprise then that the angels appeared with messengers of hope, joy, peace, and love. Everything we've come to believe about Jesus has its beginnings in these images of the baby in Bethlehem. But that's not all. Our joy at Christmas isn't just about remembering a long ago birth. The stories still matter to us because Jesus still matters to us. During Advent, the church talks about the coming of Jesus in three ways. One, the past of Bethlehem, in the presence, our own day-to-day experiences, and the future fulfillment of God's purposes of this world when he promises to come back to take us to be home with him. Do we have an expectation now in our own lives of knowing through Jesus? If the baby of Bethlehem moves us, warms our hearts, and stirs us with longing and hope, and that's presumably why we are here this morning, then it shows something about us. It shows we recognize Jesus as somehow a part in our lives, still present and important, still revealing God's love. How can the Christmas story help us to recognize this coming of this now? Those same clues and themes that we look for when Jesus comes. It's hidden. It's surprising. It's unpredictable. Mary's baby was nothing like the accepted image of God's chosen one that we thought about. In Bethlehem, most people snored through the great long-awaited moment. All these years, they looked for the promised Messiah and slept through it. But for people who are tuned into God's ways, who hope and expect signs of God's presence, an ordinary thing could be a glimpse of God among us, a new baby, an offer of shelter to some tired travelers, a starry sky, a moment of simple kindness, the pleasures of giving pleasure to someone else. Look for Jesus among us wherever there is hope, contentment, gratitude, generosity. Whenever people are caring for one another, living peacefully, quietly, doing good. When Jesus comes, there is likely to be conflict and danger. The scandal of Mary's pregnancy, Joseph's anger and confusion, Herod's attempt to destroy him. That's just the beginning of it. Welcoming Jesus may not be all sweetness and light. It can be, and it will be, a costly commitment. The way of Jesus is demanding and difficult, just as it was for Jesus himself. Look for Jesus whenever people suffer for their beliefs, whenever there is tension and sorrow, whenever people are wrestling with their doubts and fears. When Jesus comes, it's a conflict, the comfort of afflicted and afflicted people. The people who eagerly await Jesus were those with little to lose. The poor, the people on the edge, like the shepherds, like Mary, like Joseph. The way of Jesus is a threat to the people, like Herod, who do not like and are comfortable with the unjust system that was in place. Look for Jesus whenever people stand up for what's right, challenge evil, speak on behalf of the oppressed, and refuse to be part of the problem. When Jesus comes, it's like a breath of fresh air from heaven. Because of Jesus, we've come to know God as loving, compassionate, deeply involved with us, and totally on our side. The angels have said it first, but countless millions have discovered it for themselves. Look for Jesus wherever people come to believe that they are truly accepted and loved, and when they are set free to be themselves and to care for others. On this Christmas day, may Jesus meet you everywhere you turn, in the hospital, the hospitality, the gifts you offer and receive, in the pleasures of being with those you love, in remembering the beloved dead, and absent friends in the praise and thanksgiving of the church as we delight in the wonderful story of Jesus, born of Mary, Emmanuel, God with us. It's not every year that we meet on Sunday, the seventh day of Christians. It's not every day that we get to celebrate Christmas on Sunday, is it? And today is a special day because not only are we celebrating Christ's birthday, but we're also coming together to worship. There are many that are not here that are with families, and hopefully they are worshiping at home. But today, our family has been extended to those that are here and not here. May God richly bless each one of us as He has. We are truly blessed people on this Christmas day. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day that You have given us, a day that we can come together as families, as we come together as a family in this church, and worship and lift up the name of Jesus Christ above every name. And as He came on a silent night that was quiet, a night where people were sleeping and not expecting the Messiah to come, Jesus came. And Father, thank You for letting Him grow up on this earth, letting Him to experience the things and feel the things that we feel, to know the sorrow, the hurt, the joy, the love that we have experienced. And thank You this day, Father, that Jesus was willing to pay the cost for each one of us, that we may have the eternal gift that You have given us. For God so loved the world, each one of us, that He gave His Son as a present for us. Father, we're not worthy, but today we come to worship You, to thank You for the best Christmas gift ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.